Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Derrick, minister of the 12th hour apostolic Sabbatarian congregation now time at the 12th hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 23, 2017, or this is 27, 2021, we will start our first service today with a song entitled A Shelter in the Time of Storm. The Yah's a rock in every heart, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, yes, there is a rock in a weary land, the weary land, the weary land. Oh, yes, there is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alone, no foes afraid, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, yes, there's a rock in the weary land, the weary land, the weary land. Oh, yes, there's a rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms lay round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. He'll never leave a safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, yes, there's a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, yes, there's a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper, evermore, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, yes, there's a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, yes, there's a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we're going to do that track again. It's V.T. Hall's track number 12. And there's some real, real good things in here. And we're going to also deal with the track of the war news forecast by the V.T. Hall of track number 14. So 12, 13, and 14, but we're going to do 12 and 14. And let's see where we come up with about today's events, what's going on today. And also we're going to read Daniel 11. I'm going to read Daniel 11, some of it for our prayer thought. I'm going to read Daniel 10. For a prayer thought, and then we'll bring in Daniel 11 as we get into more into our subject. Daniel sees a vision here in Daniel 10. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name is called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. Now, Donald Trump being an atypical Charis, he's in his first year, just beginning his first year. And here Daniel, in his vision, he sees, he has a vision in the third year of typical Charis's reign. So we know that the antitypical Charis, Donald Trump, is no doubt is going to be there for quite a duration. At least two presidential terms, probably, but we can only take it one day at a time. And so, therefore, I'm going to continue on here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now keep in mind that Daniel's prophecy is for the fulfillment now. It's not for a later time. It's for the fulfillment now, as we speak here in the 12th hour. That's what his prophecies were for. Because it says right there in Daniel 12:4, it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So Daniel had a book, and he's putting all these prophecies in it. And then he was told to seal it up until the time of the end. Well, we know that we are in the time of the end. The time of the end is the 12th parabolic hour. Okay? And the 12th parabolic hour began in 2003. So we've been in the time of the end for quite a while. It says, in the 24th day of the first month, this is Daniel 10:4, "And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in the linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of the ephod." Now, who is this man clothed in linen? This is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. "His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of the lightning." Okay, now why is that word lightning coming in here? Why do you think the reason for that is? It says there in Hebrews chapter 7, I believe it's in chapter 7, it says, or somewhere, it says, "As the lightning cometh out of the east even into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." I'll just leave it at that. "And his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color unto polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turning me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself, before thy Yahweh, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Okay, who were the kings of Persia? Well, I read to you in the first verse, starting right off, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And who was Cyrus's co-king, his co-partner, vice president? It was Darius. So this is who Daniel is talking about. He says, now, verse 14, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And I just read to you in Daniel 12:4, it says, seal up the book until the time of the end. And when verse 15, Daniel 10, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Yahweh, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my master talk with this my master? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is a breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, let my master speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now, who is this Michael? This is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. Because it says right there in Daniel 12, verse 1, it says that, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Okay, said. So now we're going, so let's just go right on into Daniel chapter 11 now. So now here Daniel and the man in linen, they're in verse 5 of Daniel 10. The man in linen, he's this Michael. That is mentioned here in verse 21 of Daniel 10. He's the only one that is with Daniel in this vision to give him understanding. He holdeth with only with him. Okay, so in Daniel 11:1 it says, also. Now, in other words, this word also is a conjunction meaning in addition to, or it can be turned as moreover, or in addition to. I, in the first year of the Darius, the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. So now, Cyrus is off the scene. Now we have Darius, the Mede, that is taking over Cyrus's place. And so he said, and verse 2, and now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Now, Grecia is Alexander the Great in Daniel's vision of the third beast that Daniel saw, that leopard. And that represented Grecia, Alexander the Great. All right. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according unto his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according unto his dominion, which he rule, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. Now who is this kingdom? This is Alexander the Great's kingdom, and Alexander died all of a sudden one night in a drunken debacle because he was conquering the whole world, and he was in the process of doing this, but he was cut short. And he had four generals that come up and took over his kingdom. Okay. Now, this would be a good place. Let's go ahead and read, though. In verse 5 of Daniel 11. And the king of the south shall be strong. Now, the king of the south that came out of Alexander's Grecia, that came out of his kingdom, he was one of those four kings, those four generals that Alexander had. And the king of the south is the Arabs. Now, keep that in your mind right off. And one of his princes, he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. So the Arabs, the descendants of Ishmael, the firstborn of Abraham by the flesh, with an Egyptian mother, Ishmael, these are his descendants that is taken over as king of the south. Okay. Verse 6, Daniel 11. And in the end of the years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. So the kings of the south, which is your Arab kings, and when Obama was president of the United States, he represented this king of the south, because the king of the north is Rome, is the Vatican. All right? And we do know that Obama met with the king of the north right here in Washington, D.C., several years back, while he was still president, and we know that they made an agreement. Okay? But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times, and who begat her, the king of the south, Obama, in our day, would be the one that begat this daughter. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. Now keep in mind, the king of the north is Rome. And shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods, with their princesses, and with their precious vessels of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. All right? And so this king of the south, again, this is Egypt, the Arabs, and so naturally Egypt is their capital. Where they are working out of. Now keep in mind that Egypt is south of the Mediterranean Sea. And directly across the Mediterranean Sea, north, you have Rome, the Vatican. Okay? So these two kings, the king of the south and the king of the north, they have an ocean separating them. Keep that in mind. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land. But his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south, the Arabs, the Muslims, shall be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north, the Rome, the Vatican, and he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. This is the king of the south. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Okay, so now I said, and in those times there shall many stand up. Who are this many? Donald Trump just took the place of the king of the south, Obama's kingdom. He took the place of it. And now Donald Trump is traveling over the same ground that Obama traveled over a few years earlier. And he's going to the same people Obama went to, but he's having different results. Obama couldn't organize 54 Arab nations to work with him to overthrow the king of the north, the Vatican. But Donald Trump, he goes and he calls on Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia pulls in 54 Arab kings from 54 Arab nations, and they all agree, they're 100% with Donald Trump, to work in concert together and to what? Hopefully to defeat the nations, and especially the king of the north. Because keep in mind, the king of the south, Obama, when he was president, he hates the king of the north. That's the way it was in the top, that's the way it was in history, and it hasn't changed a bit. And the king of the north hates the Muslim. They hate the king of the south. The Pope hates the king of the south. But the king of the south and the king of the north got together when Obama was president, and they made an agreement. Okay. So, now, here's got Donald Trump. He's completely reversed the thinking of these nations. And now he's got those Arab nations that did not organize with Obama. Now they have organized with Donald Trump, and they have one thing in mind. And that is, if they can economically appease Donald Trump, the one that took over the King of the South position, with money and enticements, that this will bind him to them to work to carry out their full agenda, and that is to make the Muslims the rulers of the world. Daniel 11:8, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land, and that's Egypt. But his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come, and overflow, and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up, even unto his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north, and he shall set forth a great multitude, that the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000, and he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also, the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. Now, who are the robbers of the people? The king of the south. The Muslims, the Arabs are definitely the robbers of people, and so is the king of the north. The Pope, the Catholics, the Vatican, they're robbers of their people. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mountain, and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people shall there be any strength to withstand. Alright, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to go pick up now B.T. Hollis' forecast on this here king of the north and king of the south, and maybe we might just get a little bit more input of what we're talking about. But he that cometh, verse 16, Daniel 11, but he that cometh against him shall do according unto his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. This is the Pope. And he shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. This shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to see. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, that he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes and the glory of the kingdom. Now we know in the type that Caesar, King Caesar, about 2,000 years ago, he raised the taxes. You know the story about Mary and Joseph having to go into Jerusalem to pay their taxes. And that's when Yahshua was born, in the fall of the year. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, unto whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flattery. Well, this is pagan Rome. And they went in and joined the apostolic church. Okay, and with the arms that was 2,000 years ago, or in the first century. And it says, he shall come in peace and obtain the kingdom by flattery. What kingdom is this? This is the kingdom of the apostles. Now, this is the Catholic Church. Today would be the Catholic Church coming into the Adventist Church and taking over their kingdom by flattery. In other words, coming in masquerading as Adventist ministers, and they're actually Jesuits. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown, from before him, and he and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And as the league made him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. Okay, and both these kings, which is your king of the north and king of the south is your Arab nation, and king of the north is the Rome and the Pope. And they shall speak lies at one table. They shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return unto his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come forward. Come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their Elohim shall be strong and do exploits. Now those that do know their Yahweh shall be strong and do exploits, and that's who this kingdom is that we represent, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of David. That's what we represent as the leaders here in this 12th parabolic hour, to expose this king of the north and king of the south and who they really are today. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. That they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. The top of this was when the apostolic Nazarene converts in the first century were taken over by pagan Rome. And then pagan Rome developed into ecclesiastical Rome, and by 538 A.D., 500 years after the cross, then ecclesiastical Rome became a world power and completely overthrew the Sabbath-keeping people that were the descendants of the apostle and the apostolic kingdom. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even unto the time of the end. Okay, unto the time of the end, and we're in the end time now. Because it is yet for a time appointed. So all through the centuries, Yahweh has always called people at a point of time of understanding. Some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them and to purge and to make them what? Okay. Now what does it say in Daniel 12:10? He says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Well, we understand these prophecies, and that's why we are bringing them to you today. Because we do have the understanding, and that we have to gather more information from the spirit of prophecy to clarify even what the scriptures bear out. Alright, it says in verse 36 of Daniel 11, prophecy of a willful king. And the king shall do according unto his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the Yahweh of his fathers, or the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. This is the Pope of the Catholic Church. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Forces means wealth. Okay? Means money. And means gold and silver. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. This shall he do in the most stronghold with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. At the time of the end, this is where we're at now here in the 12th hour, shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the country, and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the sheep of the children of Ammon. Okay, yes. And he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his death. Now we know that Obama personally orchestrated with his Secretary of State Hillary Clinton the overthrow of modern day Libya today, which is in northern Africa. Okay. And it says, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Well, we know that this year Obama also overthrew Egypt for a year. And he got his puppet installed there, this Muslim Brotherhood guy named Morsi, for a year. And then the people came back in, the citizens of Egypt came back in and overthrew this Morsi, and threw out this puppet, and took back their country. Okay. The tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the sea and the glorious holy mountains, yet he shall come unto his end, and none shall help him. Okay, now this is directly talking about the Pope here in the end. So he's the one that has That's the tabernacles of his power. All right, now, I'll finish this Daniel chapter 11, and I want to go back now and read to you. Start with page, let's see, 57. I want to start at page, I know it's part, page 88 on the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This is track number 12 by Vicky Holler. Let's turn to page 88 first, and I'm going to read you something there. It says, declares war, but not against the king of the south. So far on this chain of events, each link has been a prophecy fulfilled. The verses which we are next to consider contain the links of prophecy unfulfilled. Through the eye of faith, therefore, we are now to look into the future. But tidings out of the east and out of the north, this is in Daniel 11:44, shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury, destroy and to utterly make away many. That's verse 44. The king's final trouble is not to arise from the king of the south pushing at him, but from tidings out of the east and out of the north, showing that he is drawn into this last struggle for supremacy, not by anyone's declaring war against him, but by his declaring war against many, because tidings out of the east and out of the north have troubled him. If Germany's aggressive activities on the north of the Mediterranean and the Japanese on the east of it are the tidings which have led England into war against many, and there is no doubt about it, then this Second World War will lead to fulfillment of the entire chapter under consideration. Number 14, his last act, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the sea and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Verse, that's Daniel 11:45. It is self-evident that planting the tabernacles of his palace cannot mean planting his capital. The tabernacles, therefore, may denote a branch of his palace, and his choosing to plant them in the glorious holy mountain indicates that the place is intended to attach to his tabernacle the holiness of the Christian's God. Investing the tabernacles of his palace with such sanctity can mean that it is to house the headquarters of the soon coming ecclesiastical world government, which we have already considered. But one location, perhaps Mount Sinai, is between the seas. Now, this is talking about the Mount Sinai of Arabia down in the south of Jerusalem, about several hundred miles. The Red Sea and the Mediterranean. His choosing it instead of Jerusalem implies that it is because Palestine, as well as Edom, Moab, and Ammon, shall escape out of his hand. The statement, he shall come to his end and none shall help him, shows that he has previously been helped by some other power, and that he will not continue long thereafter, and most likely means that his ecclesiasticism will be overthrown by the horns of the scarlet-colored beast, Revelation 17:16. It is now being apparent that the tabernacles of his palace are supposed to represent holiness, and that the woman riding the beast, Revelation 17:3, settles the world's social, economic, political, and religious problem. The truth is clear that the present Christian governments are to be reorganized and ruled by an ecclesiastical head, not by Hitler. Our prayer, therefore, is that all make sure that their names be in Michael's Book of Life, for those whose names are not there will be left to go down in the eternal room. As a parting reassurance that we are now living in the time of the end, and Rita always wrote this tract back there in 1941, and he called that the time of the end. Okay. At that time. As that time is about to pass into eternity, we quote the angel's solemn words. And at that time shall Michael stand up. Now, I just read that to you in Daniel 12:1. And Michael hasn't stood up yet, and we're in the 12th hour. And when V.T. Hobbs wrote this here in 1941, he was in the 10th parabolic hour. He still had another hour in front of him to pass through the 11th parabolic hour, at which V.T. Hobbs didn't even live to see the 11th parabolic hour come on in 1970. So he said, but at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, come to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12:1-2. Conclusion. Since the prophecies dealt with herein are linked together many centuries of history, we have the scope of this tract been able but briefly to treat of the history involved, giving a special attention to the part by which Yahweh is to guide the feet of everyone who is anxious to take up the cross and to follow him safely over the bottomless pit, into which all other livings are soon to fall. The truth here brought to light shining as clearly as it does should convince and convert all the honest who wish to escape the coming doom. Therefore may all take it to heart and profit. Okay, now let's go back and look at page 49. The Gentiles will be driven out of the Holy Land. Then lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns, and I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, and Yahshua showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. Zechariah 1:18-21. Here we see first that the heathen powers and their scattering of Yahweh's ancient people are represented as four horns. And later in their casting out the Gentiles, they are represented as four carpenters. Thus it is predicted also pictorially that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles only until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, Luke 21:24. And we've seen the fulfillment now of these Gentiles. They are at the end of their sojourn in Jerusalem and Israel, the land of Israel. And I'm talking about those Arabs, Muslims, they are all classified as Gentiles. So whenever that Jerusalem is cleared up, cleaned out of the war of Zechariah 14, you're going to clean out all the Gentiles, not only out of Jerusalem, but out of the whole land of Israel. For the whole land of Israel is going to be turned into a Garden of Eden type of atmosphere, and you're going to have the holy city Jerusalem coming down. That's going to sit right there on that land. And I'm talking about right in this 12th hour that we're in right now before probation comes. The world is fixed to see something about the second coming of Yahshua and the holy city coming down. They've always, Advent's always placed 1,000 years in between all of that. that you're fixed to see, or the whole world is fixed to see something that they have never anticipated would be the way it's going to turn out. We said, read Ezekiel. Okay, here we see first that the heathen power and their scattering of Yahweh's ancient people are represented as four horns, and later in their casting out of Gentiles, they're represented as four carpenters. Thus it is predicted also pictorially that Yahushua shall be trodden down the Gentiles only until the times of Gentiles be fulfilled, Luke 21:24. Although our first question should be, what shall we do to avoid giving allegiance to the enemies of Yahweh so as to be found worthy of a place in his kingdom when this evil time shall come? Yet the majority make their first question, who is God? For one to try on his own resources to explain who God is for him to try to do the impossible, a venture which can result only in disappointment. This is seen in the fact that although the Bible plainly states that the place of the unwalled villages is in the mountains of Israel, Israel's own land, Palestine, where the fathers of the Israelitish nation dwelt, yet men have attempted to tell us that it is in America. So it is that in their own craftiness, Yahweh will spoil and judge the nations. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall sit on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest. For they shall burn their weapons with the fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Yahweh Elohim. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place thereof of graves in Israel, a valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all her multitudes, and they shall call it the Valley of Hamon-Gog. Okay, let's go back and read that again. It says, shall they bury Gog and all his multitude. I think I said all of her multitude. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burned of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, says Yahweh Elohim. Okay, so when you kill all the enemy, and then you bury them all, and then Yahweh can be glorified before the eyes of the whole world, because guess what? There's no enemy there to accuse anybody anymore of anything. Therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. And I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' land, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Then shall they know that I am Yahweh the Elohim, which calls them to be led into captivity among the heathen. For I have gathered them into their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith Yahweh Elohim. Ezekiel 39:9-13-25-29. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will feed with them there from for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords. Now that's what's going on right now. This is where we're at. Calling everybody, all the mighty men, to beat their plowshares, right now, to beat their plowshares and the sword. That's what Donald Trump is doing. Donald Trump is arming the nations, and he's arming the Arab nations, okay? Because the Arab nations are going to be in league with Israel, because he's putting them together today. He's putting their spirits together today to be in league with each other. So you're going to have a common enemy that is going to be, they're going to have to fight against, and that's that evil that's called, that is in the Muslim world, that's your Muslim Brotherhood, that are what they call ISIS terrorists, and your Al-Qaeda, and your Hamas, and there's another one, that they form the Brotherhood that is against their own brother. And that's who Donald Trump has aligned the 54 Arab nations the other day to come up and make a pledge to purge out those their brothers that are terrorists out of their midst. So that's what the call was for. Beat your plowshares into swords and let's go to work. And he said, eradicate the enemy out of the earth, all over the world, out of all nations. This is the fullness of this prophet. And your pruning hooks in the spirit, let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and get yourselves together round about. Hear the cause of mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Joel 3, 1, 2, and 9 to 12. This is exactly where we're at today. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:32-34. All right, I'm going to read to you a little bit here, B.P. Hall's comment on what I just read to you. But unto them that are at his left hand shall he say, and they shall go away into everlasting punishment. Okay. So those Muslim Brotherhood, they are on the left hand of the Muslim world. Donald Trump called up 54 Muslim nations. They came to meet him in Saudi Arabia. And they agreed with him that they would join in league with the United States and Jerusalem, and purging all of the terrorists and all of the enemy out of their midst. So the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. It's time for the Gentiles now to be driven out. Okay, just read to you. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25:46. This is where we're at, folks. For a complete study of the kingdom, read tract number 8, Mount Zion, at the 11th hour, and tract number 9, Behold, I Make All Things New. Okay. These are some of the future events that are soon to follow in quick succession and the ushering in of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, which is the same thing as the everlasting kingdom of David. Then follows the closing of probation and the point out of the seven last days that shall fall upon those, and etc., etc. This brings us to the end of our study for the day. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Come to the Banquet and Dine by Elijah David. this old world is a great dissipation. For the grandest event of all time, for the saints to be gathered to the city of God and there to be at the Savior and God. Oh, won't we come with the banquet in time? The Savior is to greet you at the head of the line. He can still turn the water into wine. So come, everyone, to the banquet and dine. For a long time the saints have been waiting to receive their call from the grave, to receive their reward in glory, and to praise to say, oh, won't you come to the banquet and dine? The Savior is to greet you at the head of the line. He can still turn the water into wine. So come, everyone, to the banquet and dine. To perform, sin hurt not your servants, and do them no harm. For they have a last work to do for humankind, so they all can together to the banquet and dine. Oh, won't you come to the banquet and dine? The Savior wish to greet you at the head of the line. He can still turn the water into wine. So come, everyone, to the banquet and dine.